Welcome to Voice Blind, a short series of Q&A with artists and researchers in Amsterdam. This project is initiated by Arias, giving a platform to critical voices to unpack artistic and scientific processes for connecting research and methodologies. This is an invitation to listen on some of the most pressing issues in practice-based research. Like a cloud sailing in the sky, like layers of practices and knowledge that overlap and move away, VoiceBlind invites you to enter the world of artistic research. Today, we're introducing Michael Connor, a PhD candidate working across channels at the Vrije University of Amsterdam and Amsterdam University of the Arts on his project Embodied Lines. Michael Connor investigates the way in which movement as a method can connect and develop relationship between fields and discipline, when lines are considered a part of the movement. Actually, how can we think of movement, concept, space, life, without observing the form of lines? In this process, the research entails establishing what practices are possible when using the body as the medium to translate lines from one domain to another. In this coming episode, Mike guides us through this research, inviting us to discover multiple ways to explore and investigate embodied lines.
I'm Mike O'Connor, a choreographer, dancer, movement researcher. My bachelor's is from the University of Utah. My master's is from the University of the Arts in Amsterdam. And now I'm doing a PhD at the Vrije University in Amsterdam, and I'm finishing a fellowship at Das Graduate School with the cohort third. I've been looking at cognitive science theories of perception since 2011, and how these can be utilized as dance practices, how modes of perception can be performative tools. After following a path through empathy, objects, and metaphor, I've landed on the topic of lines. Lines are so basic that when you say it, people hesitate, thinking they've misunderstood. Lines were appearing in many theories as data or used to describe the data. And I became interested in the lines themselves and what is happening with this phenomena. So I categorized them as lines we imagine, lines we make with our body, as traces, and as lines we perceive in the environment. Therefore, embodied lines became the working title of my PhD. Because those three categories unite, or can unite, within the body. An issue I seem to be constantly negotiating within artistic research is what is my method and what is my practice. This feels slippery, and I think traditional scientific research doesn't have this ambiguity. If you start with the method, well, in the beginning stages, it feels like it can be flexible. Originally, movement was my method, and this still can be one way to name it, but I recently realized that the end goal I was aiming for was actually part of my method. Philosopher John Schadder introduces the term withness, to be with something, and to be responsive. So in opposition to reflection or aboutness, in that I reflect on what I'm doing and then write about it, I'm asking what type of knowledge is present in a moment before it can be reflected upon. This is a summary of Schadder's point. I think this is beautiful and relates very much to what we do as dancers, moving our bodies with others and in space and time. There is a knowing, a being with, that makes sense with the other parts that are moving. But compared to traditional academia, it can't be repeated. Or even for a dancer, it might not make sense again another time. It only made sense in that moment. So this responding is actually a type of thinking. So this was a goal of my research. How can researching lines that we imagine, lines that are in our mental processes, and lines that we make with our body through movement, either sculpturally like a design or through space when we make paths or traces, and lines we perceive like buildings or lines made by clouds, how can all of that be used to exemplify a concept of withness? But now I'm realizing that being with the environment or other dancers, responding in time, whether it is drawing or moving, thinking, listening, is actually the method in order to tease out these exact moments of temporary sense-making. As I say this, I could also say that the lines are the tools to bring forth this withness. So again, there's a play between what is the subject and the method. I think this is a reality of artistic research, and even more exaggerated with my topic, as lines are the subject, the documentation, and the data simultaneously. So now the second point, what is my practice? Well, I do many things. I draw the rain or people's movements in the park as lines. I listen to human voices and bring that into my body. I look at the shape of objects and let that elicit responses in me. I can write a sentence and use the qualities of my handwriting as data to then bring into my body or give to a musician and have them play my handwriting. I've also had musicians play me. Instead of a dancer dancing to music, I ask musicians to see my body as a score. The commonality in all these examples is that I'm moving lines from one domain to another, a line of sound to a line of movement, an imagined line the bird makes as it soars through the sky into a line drawn on a piece of paper, a drawing turned into a dance. Lines can slide between these domains, slide between the mind-body environment. So there are many ways to do this, but in the end, it's one practice, the body as a translator. So then, in the translation process, this is where the responding is happening, where lines in different domains can be with each other. And when lines are being translated, it becomes clear what stays or what disappears. Then there are questions, well, why or what is learned from the topic through this translation process? So let me give you an example. If someone is doing a construction in your building and there is this horrible sound, if I work with that, if I translate the line of that sound into my body or into a drawing, what is being revealed? Is it just the information about the annoying loudness? Well, that is there, but we can't separate that from the person who is working on the machine. So am I also translating part of the person's line of thought? We can go even further. Is information of the building, the lines the architect drew, being conveyed in this sound? It sounds very abstract and almost unbelievable, but this is where some of the cognitive science theories allow us to think in this way, like extended mind theories, that the mind exists not only in our brains, but is extended into the environment. Those scientists use cave drawings or clay pot making as examples. So I'm taking those principles and expanding. When we dance to Wagner or Chopin, is it possible we are dancing to the line of the composer's thinking? Are their thoughts extended into the music? So as an artist, I'm not trying to prove that, but I'm proposing this organizing principle of lines and our ability to translate them. Therefore, we get to a place where it makes sense, where I know what I'm doing, and I have the ability to consider that the lines are allowing time or space to jump. So back to the construction worker example, simply opening up the question, when I hear this noise, what is it that I'm translating? Bringing those cognitive theories that pose that question into a dance practice is an opening that is interesting. And it makes sense that the body in motion looks at this opening and tries to answer it. It is a moving body that is doing the translating, and therefore artistic research and dance become the best suited approach. So one day I was walking and the image of origami hit me. Not just the image, but the logic behind it. All there is the paper. Nothing is lost or added with origami. It just folded or unfolded and refolded. And in the process, lines are made, or lines appear, but really they are folds or edges. So there is this illusion of lines. Some action was made to say this side of the paper is now different than this side of the paper. And we have a line here to mark so. This resonated with me in relation to the intertwined aspect of lines. When does writing become drawing, or when does dancing become writing? I dance in space and I'm making lines with my body, but if I were to cover the floor with sand and my pathways were then visible, then it looks like a drawing. So personally and historically, we've made these folds to say this is this and that is that. But with this image of the human body as origami, we can see that these lines can all relate to each other, and in that it's the same piece of paper, or the same body, and they result in just different expressions. And it's interesting to think that there can be a bit of an illusion in how we have delineated the separation between these different fields. So if I sing a note, it would just be a line of sound, but if you introduce some material, like a software that records it, it'll be depicted as like a drawn line through time on the computer. I don't do much with technology, though. I prefer another human to turn the line from one space into another. I'm interested in what the human body can do. Technology is great, and of course the cognitive science theories are based on using these tools to perceive what the human eye can't perceive. But for my research, I think it's important to focus on what is my body perceiving on its own, and how is it responding. In this way, seeing or hearing a line and turning it into another output as a shape with my body is using metaphor as a tool. Metaphor is how I am able to say, this line is like this line, let me show you. Also, the metaphor of the human body as origami functions as a tool to think about relationships. One relationship I'm thinking about is that of the foot and the ear. A colleague of mine in the third cohort recently pointed out to me that the French entendre, to hear, is etymologically linked to the Latin intendu, meaning to stretch out. To hear, to listen, is to stretch out. In dance, the French also use this in ballet, in a tendu, to stretch the foot out. The foot of the dancer draws a line, a trace on the ground as it extends the leg forward, flexing at the hip. A fold in the hip joint also happens. To draw a line is to make a fold, literally, in the action of the body. If we use this etymological link and ask the same if-then that came from the body with the foot to the subject of hearing or listening of the ear, then to listen, to reach out, is also to draw a line and to also make a fold. But what reaches and what folds when we hear? Well, first I thought, why does the hip fold? It is a response, an entanglement with the design of the leg. In drawing a trace of the foot, the angle is changed in the hip socket. The dancer does not think to crease or fold the hip socket. The dancer thinks to stretch out from the toes at the distal end. The fold just happens. It is a response, an adjustment. I want to interject here and have us think again about the human body as origami, because here we see language and action are held in the folds of the body and their meaning. In dance, the body is the material. When the toe goes forward, the femur goes back. So this reaching out also has a return aspect with the fold. So does this stretch in listening also have this forward and back that happens simultaneously? We often think of listening or hearing as only this return, as that which comes to me. But knowing that the first step of tendu is to stretch out, then the fold is the return. The fold is perhaps the withness, the intermingling that arrives milliseconds after the cast listening returns. Perhaps the linear trace in listening is to hear the sounds, and the fold is to bring those sounds into understanding. Sometimes the meaning or understanding is not the content of the words, but also in the felt sense or the tone of the voice, the sound quality, not just the note, but the way it is played. So I would like to propose to listen is to make a line and a fold. Making a line and a fold is a familiar activity we know made by the body. So I'm playing with this relationship between my foot and that can stretch out and create a line and using the body as its material, and that with the ear that can stretch out when hearing. But what stretches out? Well, in this case, the material is an imagined traced line.